greet all that came today, and we pray that God would bless His Word as we read it today. We're reading Matthew chapter 21. We'll be reading the parable of the two sons this morning. So take a break from our study in Ephesus and read this episode here today. Matthew 21, verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he comes to the first and he says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." The son answers and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and he went. Then he comes to the second son and he says, "Likewise." And the second son answered and said, "I will go, sir." But he did not go. Now which of the two did the will of his father? And so they said to him, "The first." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Because John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him." Well, today is the day that we call Palm Sunday. This is the day that shortly before his death, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I think that's probably about the most detail most people know about this episode in the life of Jesus. But this was the beginning of the end. This was the week that would culminate with the death of Jesus Christ for our sins on the cross. And all week as Jesus walked in and out of Jerusalem on a daily basis, he would come in the morning to the temple. And great crowds would gather there. And Jesus was a great teacher. It is said about Jesus that when Jesus taught, that he taught as somebody that had authority. When Jesus spoke, people listened to him. I think Jesus was physically a man of man. When he spoke to crowds, it says that the crowd of 5,000 was fed by Jesus. But I think it was more than just men. There were probably, at least half the wives were probably there. The rest were home cooking lunch. And there were a bunch of children there. Remember, there was a boy that came with the two loaves, or with the loaves and the fishes. And so there may have been 15 or 20,000 people there. And Jesus didn't have a microphone like I have this morning. And when Jesus spoke, people heard him. They could hear him clearly. And so Jesus taught. And what Jesus was saying is that the entrance into his kingdom, the reason Jesus came was to open up a way into his kingdom, that people could come by faith, could have forgiveness of their sins, that they could have peace with God. And it was not the way that most people thought. It was not the way that the Jewish leaders taught. It was not through the ceremonies and the observances of all the little details of the law. And so the result is most of what Jesus taught this week, as you read chapter 21 through the end of Matthew. You read every parable of Jesus has a warning of judgment to come if the people will not accept the truths, the spiritual truths that Jesus is teaching. We read more about this week and more teaching of Jesus is concentrated in this last week of his life than in probably the rest of his ministry. It's like if we would have a conference and from morning till late at night, we would just have teaching after teaching after teaching. And so this week begins in the first verses of this chapter 21 with Jesus riding into Jerusalem. These verses describe the crowds of people, the emotions that the people had. Have you ever been in a crowd? Maybe some of you have gone to a game, a USC-UCLA game maybe, and you hear the roar and the screaming of the crowd. And what are they yelling about? They're yelling about a little piece of leather being chased around the field by a bunch of big guys trying to catch it. And everybody's screaming and yelling and gets emotional and excited about that. What excites you? The crowd was excited. And a lot of them didn't even know why they were excited. They were shouting and singing Hosanna. This word Hosanna, it means, "Oh God, save us." And it's a direct quote from one of the Psalms that David wrote. But Jesus rode into Jerusalem and presented himself as the Messiah that had been promised in the Old Testament. But Israel didn't want a Messiah that would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah describes him as being humble. They wanted a king. They wanted somebody that would overthrow the power of Rome. They were looking for a political Messiah, not a spiritual savior. that would bring peace with God. And so in his teachings and in many of these parables, Jesus brings judgment upon the people that would not accept him, and especially upon the leadership of Israel. And when Jesus taught these things, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests and the elders of the people were right there listening to him, looking for something that they could later accuse him of saying that was wrong. But these are the words of Christ. The word of God is, we teach, is inerrant. It means it has no mistakes in it. When Jesus spoke, and this is his words, everything he spoke was truth. And this truth is capable of bringing us knowledge of God. It's the revelation of God, and it brings us the good news of the gospel of salvation. And the leadership of Israel, they understood. When Jesus spoke about hypocrisy, when Jesus spoke about judgment, in all of these examples, when Jesus would contrast two groups of people, people that belonged to God and his kingdom, and people that did not belong to God and his kingdom, the leadership clearly understood that Jesus was speaking to them. And Jesus was indicting them just like a judge. And they knew they were guilty. And they were faced with the truth of accepting what Jesus said or rejecting it. And they chose to reject it. And because of this, the wrath of God was poured on them. And to this day, as a nation, for the most part, the nation of Israel rejects Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, as the promised Messiah, as the man, the God that came to die for our sins and bring us peace. But on this day when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he presented himself to the nation as their Messiah and their King. And then on the next day, as he teaches them this story, this very earthly, this very plain story about a man that had two sons. If any of you are children like this, or there's several of you children, some of you parents have several children, this is probably something that we experience on a daily basis. You ask one of your sons or your daughters to do something for you, and sometimes they say no. That's the reality of life. And that shows us the unregenerate, sinful heart of man. Scripture teaches us that man is sinful to the very core. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that the heart of man is so deceitful that when man looks at himself in a mirror, he does not recognize his own sin. He thinks he's okay. He thinks he's good. And Jesus describes these people. The son, he did not care about his father. The question Jesus asks is, who did the will of his father? And of course, beyond the physical story, Jesus has given us a spiritual lesson about being true sons of God and doing what God requires of us, doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? We've spoken about the will of God many times. First thing of the will of God, over and over in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God's will is that man be saved. God's will is that we be his spiritual children. He desires to be our spiritual father. God wants us to have a relationship with him, but it's based on his holiness. And sinful man needs to be regenerated. And there's something that happened in the life of the son. He says, no, I will not go. But later it says, he repented. This word, it means he had a change of heart. His heart was changed and decided to do the will of the Father. And he goes and he works. And the contrast is to the other son, that the father comes and he says, will you go work in my vineyard? And that son said, yeah, of course. Sure, Dad, I'll do that. And he says he didn't go. And Jesus drives the point home and he asks the Pharisees and all of these leaders the question. And they knew he wasn't just talking about a physical family. They knew he was comparing them with these other people. He was comparing them to tax collectors and harlots. Those of you that don't know your English very well, a harlot is a lady of the street. It's a lady that sells herself. We heard a lot about that in the news this week. The governor of New York had to resign because of his relationship with the lady of the street. And the Pharisees, they understood that Jesus was pointing to them as the sons that refused to do the will of the Father. And what was shattering to them is they were the leaders. They were the ones that were teaching the people. They were the ones that thought that they knew it all. They were the ones that thought they had the keys to the door that opens up the kingdom of God. They thought they were already halfway in. They thought they were closer than the Gentiles that were outside. They thought they were better. Jesus says that your deeds demonstrate and give evidence of internal fruit. And if you don't have fruit, you're as dead as the tree that Jesus cursed here earlier in verse 20 as we read about the fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it because its roots were dead. And what was amazing to these leaders is that Jesus said that these people that you despise, and you have to understand that tax collectors, by the way, Matthew was a tax collector, remember? Before Jesus called him, before Jesus said, come and follow me, Matthew sat at the table collecting taxes. And who did he collect taxes for? He collected taxes for the Romans, for the Roman government. And the Romans were occupying Israel, and Israel did not like that. They wanted to be free and independent. They wanted to have their own country. They didn't like a foreign army occupying their country, collecting their hard-earned money in taxes. And Matthew was considered, and all tax collectors were considered to be traitors. And you know what they did with traitors? First of all, they hated them. Second of all, whenever possible, they tried to kill them. Traitors are often found with the noose around their neck. There were assassins among the nation. One of the apostles is listed as being a zealot. The zealots were a political group that carried these little swords in their pockets, and they would attack the Romans, the Roman soldiers, and they would try to start a revolution and a rebellion. And they would often kill the people that were associated with the Romans, including the tax collectors. And they were despised and they were looked upon as scum. They weren't even considered to be Jewish. They were excommunicated. They were persona non grata. They were not welcome. And if that wasn't worse or bad enough, ladies of the street were even worse than that. And Jesus is saying is that the harlots and the tax collectors, they repented and they accepted by faith the righteousness, the cleanness, the holiness that God offers to those that come in faith, that are compared to the first son, that at first was rebellious. And he said, no. But later on, when God changes his heart, he does. And the religious people that pretend to come and worship God, but deep down inside are no good. And Jesus said that these other ones, they will enter the kingdom of God before you. Jesus isn't saying that there's a line into the kingdom of God and the tax collector goes first and then a religious leader. No, Jesus is saying this is you're outside. You won't even make it in. When it says they will enter in before you, that simply means that they will enter and you will not enter. Because John the Baptist came preaching righteousness and they believed and they accepted it. Secondly, Jesus here is talking about Christian ministry. He's not only talking about our following, he's not only talking about our obedience to our Father as Christians, but he's talking about our Christian ministry. That's demonstrated in obedience. It's submission to the Word of God and to our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. In a spiritual sense, those of us that have been given these spiritual privileges, God says, will you come and work in my vineyard? That's an example Jesus used oftentimes. Is your ministry just a verbal one? Do you just say, I will serve, I will offer, I will give of my time and my money and my finances to the church? Do you tell Jesus that I believe you and I love you? Or is it demonstrated in the fact that you go out and you work in the church and you do the spiritual ministry? God has given you a spiritual gift. Are you using it in service for the Lord? You see, what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees here was insulting to them because they thought they were serving God. And Jesus says that your service is dead. It's ceremony. It's nothing. They had just heard the story of and just seen the tree that had no fruit. And the judgment of God on them. He knew that God was talking about them. Those that come to Christ become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Those that are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. Behold, all things are new, Scripture tells us. The old dies, it goes away. And God fills us with His Holy Spirit. We have a brand new life. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And several days later, that's why He walked up the hill of Calvary, carrying His cross after Him. That was why He went to the cross. And now Jesus invites you into His kingdom. He invites you to carry your cross, just like He invites these two sons. And He says, go and work in my kingdom. And so the question to you today is, which of the two sons are you? Are you the one that obeyed and believed, or are you the one that simply verbally spoke about His profession but had no action in His life? May God bless His word. Amen.